Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Thank you for coming. I'm thinking about what I'm going to speak about. First, I'm going to read a quote from Amrita Vani, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, about the superiority of chanting the holy names of the Lord above all other processes of devotional service. When I read it today, I was thinking that it is very intimately connected with a pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita between Lord Chaitanya and Sanatana Goswami. And then when I saw the how it was connected to that particular pastime, specifically the verses that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur quotes to support the superiority of chanting above the other methods of devotional service, I began to think about a conversation that took place in the when Gopakumara was in well, he was at that time, I guess he was in Mahakalapur. And there was a conversation between the Vaikuntha Dutas and Gopakumara. And it's lengthy. And I'm going to read some of that. But I realized that if I'm going to start reading that it will take some time. Because it would be nice to progressively go through this concept of the superiority of chanting the holy name of the Lord above all other methods of devotional service, because it was an instruction that Lord Chaitanya gave to Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami so brilliantly integrated into Brihad Bhagavatamrita that it's so inspirational that I wanted to use that as a basis for not only today, but for maybe the next time we meet, and maybe even the next time after that we meet. I'm going to stick to this topic with the English-speaking audience. I'm not going to do it with the Russian-speaking audience because I get too somehow... sometimes it becomes difficult when I have to wait for the translation, and I can't keep it flowing. And so I'm just letting you know it's coming in. What's coming in advance is I'm going to start it today, and by no means am I going to be able to finish it today. And if you want to stick with me on this narration, please come again in 2 days, and we'll be continuing it, and it may even go for a third time. But it's wonderful, and a lot of it is coming from Sanatana Goswami. I'm going to start with a quote, as I said, from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That's just a little an introduction of where we're going to go today, and today's on the 13th, and possibly even on the 15th, we'll continue into Brihad Bhagavatamrita about this particular discussion about the superiority of chanting. And Is chanting the Lord's holy names the principal form of bhajan? It's the question and the answer. According to the conclusion of Sriman Mahaprabhu and the Goswamis, congregational chanting of the Lord's name is certainly the principal form of bhajan. Among the limbs of devotional service, chanting Krishna's holy name is the best. Activities such as hearing and chanting about the Lord's pastimes are subordinate to chanting of the holy name. Without the holy name's mercy, we cannot experience the Lord's pastimes. Trying to separately remember the Lord without chanting is nothing but an attempt to achieve mundane fame. Chanting man-made kirtan is not the same as actually chanting the Lord's name. Man-made kirtan is an offense against the chanting because it is not aimed at gratifying Krishna's senses. Man-made kirtan, I can only think of, you know, Prabhupada would oftentimes quote Golokera Premadana Hari Nama Sankirtana, that the transcendental sound vibration of the holy name of the Lord is directly imported from the spiritual world. And unless we receive it as we heard about in previous discussions, that we have to hear it from the descending process and not impose our mundane conception upon the holy name, then I would imagine that's what he's referring to as man-made kirtan. It's not something that is descended, but there's a lot of speculation imposed upon the holy name, and therefore the full effects of the name will not manifest. And in fact, I was just reading today, Bahujan Makariyadi Shravana Kirtanata Bhutana Hare Krishna Pari Premadana, that if one commits the offenses in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, even for millions of births, he will not get love of Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of this chanting. So I'm just commenting on this term, man-made kirtan. Chanting man-made kirtan is not the same as actually chanting the Lord's name. Man-made kirtan is an offense against the chanting because it is not aimed at gratifying Krishna's senses. We do not worship the Lord with mundane sound. Chanting the Lord's name, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us to do when he inaugurated the Sankirtan movement, is the topmost form of bhajan because it is capable of awarding us the treasury of love of God. The Lord's self-manifest nectarian holy name first appears in one of our senses, and then by its own sweetness inundates all our other senses. Lord Gauranga Dev concludes, Bhajanera Madhye Shrestha Nava Vidha Bhakti Krishna Prema Krishna Dite Dare Mahashakti Tara Madhye Sava Shrestha Nama Sankirtan Nirapade Nama Laile Paya Prema Dan. Among the ways of executing devotional service, the 9 prescribed methods are the best, for these processes have great potency to deliver Krishna and ecstatic love for him. Of the 9 processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of Godhead. That is the quote from Amritavani. And as I already explained, the essence of the quote is simply the superiority of chanting above the other methods of devotional service. Although, as Lord Chaitanya, these two verses are verses that Lord Chaitanya spoke to Sanatana Goswami. And as I said, that I'm not going to relate the whole pastime, but it's very interesting that this happened when Sanatana Goswami came to Jagannath Puri. And when he walked through Jarakanda, apparently he drank bad water. His body was filled with sores, oozing pus. And at that time, Lord Chaitanya, seeing Sanatana Goswami when he arrived in Puri, he would regularly embrace Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami was very disturbed that the Lord is embracing me. And he was also thinking while he was in Puri that maybe it's better while I'm in Puri that maybe some of the pujaris, when they go to worship Lord Jagannath, they may touch me, they may become contaminated. And he had this thought in his mind in Jagannath Puri that maybe I should give up my life by throwing my body before the wheels of the cart, Jagannath cart. And so he was thinking that way. And of course, Lord Chaitanya, being omniscient, he didn't speak about it immediately, but at one point when he embraced Sanatana Goswami, he simply revealed to Sanatana, why are you thinking of committing such a sinful activity, such as giving up your body? He said that if I could give up my body and attain love for Krishna as a result of giving up my body, then I would give it up millions of times. But that's not the method for achieving love of Krishna. The method for achieving love of Krishna, which is the purpose for this body, is to become absorbed in the process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and awakening one's love for Krishna. And therefore, he chastised Sanatana Goswami for thinking that way. Of course, Sanatana Goswami never said anything to him about that. But the Lord, being omniscient, knew that he had that in his mind. And he said not only that, he said many other things. I'm not going to go into them. But essentially he said, you've given that body to me. It belongs to me. You're also committing another sinful activity of giving something to somebody and then taking it back. You don't have the right to do it. You've already given it to me. And because you've given it to me, I have many plans that I have for that body. And he began to delineate all the different plans that he had for Sanatana Goswami that he wanted him to fulfill in that body. He wanted him to go to Vrindavan, and he wanted him specifically, as we spoke about the other day, he wanted him to write books to expanding on the glories of devotional service. He wanted him to teach renunciation by his example. He wanted him to excavate the sacred places in Vrindavan. And he so many different points he made to Sanatana Goswami. And in his instructions that he gave to Sanatana Goswami at that time, explaining to him what is the process for achieving love of Godhead, he quoted these two verses that we just quoted. Bhajanera Madhya Shrestha Navavidi Bhakti Krishna Prema Krishna Dite Dari Mahashakti Tara Madhya Sava Shrestha Nama Sankirtan Nirapadi Nam Loyalo Paya Prema Dan. Repeat it again. Among the ways of executing devotional service, the nine prescribed methods are the best, for these processes have great potency to deliver Krishna and ecstatic love for him. Of the nine processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of Godhead. So, it was interesting. In fact, I was meditating on this the other day. I don't know where I did it, but one of the days I was telling how I was meditating on different pastimes of Sanatana Goswami, and I was putting together all these wonderful concepts of how Sanatana Goswami really preserved. I mean, that was an instruction he gave in Puri, and then he was to go to Vrindavan, and how he just weaved those instructions, what to speak of the other instructions he received from Lord Chaitanya during his 2 months of receiving instructions from the Lord, but how he weaved those into the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And as I was meditating on it, it was enlivening, very enlivening to me to see how Lord Chaitanya said, you know, I have plans for that body, and these are some instructions I'm giving to you, and how Sanatana Goswami just was such a perfect instrument, executing those instructions, fulfilling them in the most profound way, especially in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is particularly something that I relish. And therefore, I wanted to go from that pastime, which took place in Jagannath Puri, and now I'm going to go to Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, of course, it's impossible to summarize everything, but I want to try to put it in the context of these verses, in which Sanatana Goswami had the Vaikuntha Dutas instructing Gopakumara about the efficacy of chanting the holy names of the Lord, and how it's even superior, how chanting of the holy is even superior than meditation upon the Lord and remembrance of the Lord. And he explains how the holy name of the Lord actually serves the purposes of remembrance and meditation. He also says that meditation and remembrance serves the holy name of the Lord. But most emphasis that he gives through the words of the Vaikuntha Dutas is the specific superiority of chanting. Now, how did Gopakumara get to the point of receiving those instructions? I'm not going to go all the way back to the beginning. It started when Gopakumara was in Brahmaloka. I shouldn't say it started. No. Well, I'm going to just go back to that point. When he was in Brahmaloka. When he was in Brahmaloka, it just so happened that Gopakumara, Lord Brahma, had left. Something happened. I can't remember what it was. And Lord Brahma completely disappeared from Brahmaloka. And Gopakumara was discovered as the person who seemed to be the most qualified to replace Lord Brahma in his absence. And I think it was because the universe was filled with darkness or something like that. And something ominous happened, and Lord Brahma just left. And everybody said, what are we going to do without Brahma here? And they saw in Gopakumara as a good candidate. So Gopakumara started fulfilling Lord Brahma's duties in Brahmaloka. And then while he was fulfilling Brahma's duties, he was feeling ecstasy because Lord Mahapurusha, he would come sometimes, because Lord Mahapurusha is the form of the Lord who's manifest in Brahmaloka. He comes and he accepts the offerings of sacrifices, but he's not always present. Sometimes he comes, sometimes he's not coming. And this was a little bit dissatisfying for Gopakumara. And not only that, But then Gopakumara began to take into consideration, hey, wait a minute, Lord Brahma, he lives for two praradhas, which is his 312 trillion years, something like that. And he started thinking, psh, it's a long time I'm going to have to do this service. And he's, somehow, between the combination of those two things, he started to think, you know, maybe there must be, and not only that, not only the combination of those two things, but the mere fact that he was meditating on Madan Gopal, because he still continued to chant his mantra. And then somehow he heard, there was some discussion in the residence of Brahmaloka. He heard that they started talking about this person who somehow achieved liberation. And when he heard about somebody who achieved liberation, he started to think, what is this liberation? And because liberation sounded to be like, definitely it's a place to go beyond where I am now. And because he started to think that way, then as always for Gopakumara, he always has somebody come in and starts speaking to him and, you know, pushing him in a particular direction. So while he was there, the Vedas personified came to speak to him. And the different Shrutis and Smritis and the Upanishads, they began to glorify, to extol the virtues of liberation. And then the means for achieving liberation by the acquisition of jnana, by knowledge. And while they were speaking, then the Puranas and the Agamas came, and they began to speak about the devotional scriptures. And somehow an argument ensued, and somehow the devotional scriptures prevailed. They took precedence above everyone else who was trying to entice Gopakumara, especially those who were trying to entice him to go and to aspire for this liberation. So the devotional scriptures began extolling the virtues of devotional service. And while they were extolling the virtues of devotional service and describing the personal element of devotional service, the superiority of devotional service, the relationship that one achieves through devotional service, and when they convinced Gopakumara that yes, it's much better to aspire for this devotional service and to not to become in any way distracted by this liberation, then they suggested, why don't you go back where you came from? And they said, go back to Mathura, where you met your spiritual master who gave you the mantra in the first place. Go to that place, and in that place, you'll meet your spiritual master again in Mathura. And he will give you a method by which you can actually achieve a destination which is suitable for those aspiring for devotional service. So when the devotional scriptures convinced Gopakumara, immediately he began meditating and he found himself back on this planet in Mathura, and he began wandering about looking, and sure enough, while he was wandering about looking, he found his spiritual master who had given him the Gopal mantra, which he had been chanting on throughout his whole journey. And at that particular time, up until that time, his spiritual master had not given so many instructions about the mantra. He had just given it to him, and then he would disappear. One time, when he first gave it to him, he went into ecstasy and lost consciousness. And then so many different things happened. And Gopakumara, he only had the strength of the mantra and a few things that he got through gestures and words from his spiritual master. But he was just chanting it because he had some faith in the mantra. But this particular time, his spiritual now I've given you everything I can in as far as the chanting of this mantra. Now the mantra itself will take you to your desired destination. Then his spiritual master went into ecstasy again, and then Gopakumara found himself chanting the mantra. And then while he was chanting the mantra and he was meditating on achieving that destination, which the devotional scriptures inspired in his heart to achieve, he found himself, while meditating on the mantra, he began to travel to the material universes. Because he had to get beyond the material universe, he had to get first, he had to go through all the different coverings of the universe. He had to go beyond the Tapaloka, Janaloka, Mahaloka, Brahmaloka, Satyaloka. And as he went through all these different planets, all the residents of those different planets were saying, you know, were they waving to him saying, you know, goodbye, have a nice trip. And then, because he could understand that he was going to leave their grasp, and he was going to some other destination, you know, much greater than he had previously visited during his journey. But after he left through the universe, the material universe, then he had this. Next, he had the eight coverings he had to go through, which were the earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. And each of these eight coverings, they have a predominating deity. And before he even got, and just as he got to those eight coverings, then Prakriti Devi, the personification of the material nature, she stopped Gopakumara and she started to try to entice him. You know, are you sure this is where you want to go? I mean, I have some wonderful things I can offer you. And then the Gopakumara, of course, he had to show his determination. At every place he was going, there were different personalities. When he went beyond Prakriti, then he came to the earth covering. Then there was the predominating deity of the earth covering, who was Varaha, and there were many residents of that earth covering there, and they were trying to entice him that, you know, this is still, you know, a lot of opportunities here. Then he went to the water, and the predominating deity of the water is Matsya, and then to each of the coverings, there was all these different personalities who were just trying to entice him, but then he could see, no, he was going, and they just waved. Okay, he's not interested in anything here. So then, Gopakumara, he broke through the coverings of the universes, and he entered into Mahakalapur. And in Mahakalapur is that place where Lord Mahakala is. I believe it's the place where Krishna and Arjuna went to. It's described in the Bhagavatam, and they went to that place, and they were the anyways, it's Mahakalapur. It was the Lord of Mahakala. I don't want to get too much sidetracked. I still need to get to the discussion with the Vaikuntha Dudas. Where did they come in? But in Mahakalapur, what happened was, it is sort of like the beginning of the effulgence, the Brahman effulgence. And Gopakumara, he saw this effulgence, and he kept on going between the effulgence and the personality behind the effulgence, and then the effulgence. And the effulgence started to become a little attracted to him, and he began to become, to meditate on the effulgence, and it was just almost he was being pulled into it. And then he began to perceive that in that effulgence, it was constituted by different particles who were all living entities. And all these living entities in the effulgence, and Sanatana Goswami describes how these living entities actually, they were the living entities who emerged into the effulgence, and they were rendering service to the Lord in the effulgence, but they were not inclined to service, but they were still rendering service as ornaments for the Lord. The ornaments were, they were particles of the spark of the, as Krishna says, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, the effulgence is the source of Brahman is coming from me. And it is, they were decorating, they were ornamenting Krishna's body as particles of the effulgence. And Sanatana Goswami says, that was the extent of the service they could render for him. That was it. Otherwise, they were not so much inclined. And then Gopa Kumar, somehow, by meditating on the dangers of being pulled into the Brahman effulgence, then, although it was attractive to him, he meditated on the lotus feet of the Lord, and they saved him. And by meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord, and along with meditating on his mantra, which was, of course, which contains the lotus feet of the Lord, then what happened is, there he was in Mahakala, and then he heard some singing. He heard some singing, and he looked off in the distance by hearing the singing, and he saw some personalities who were singing and dancing. And he became very attracted to them. And then what happened was these persons who were singing, they were accompanying Lord Shiva, who had just come from his abode. He was accompanied by the four Kumaras who Gopa Kumara had met once before in Tapaloka. And the four Kumaras in Tapaloka, they tried to convince Gopa Kumara to stay in Tapaloka and to be satisfied by his meditation of the Lord within his heart. And he didn't have to go anywhere. He could just sit in their meditation. But they weren't able to convince him there. But he saw the four Kumaras. He remembered them. He worshipped them. And he offered respect to them. And he began wondering, who is this personality with this milk-white form and who's garlanded with skulls and his ashes on his body? And then Nandishwar saw Gopa Kumara, and Nandishwar came and he spoke to him. And he began telling him about the glories of Lord Shiva. I'm going a little longer. I still haven't, as I said, this is going to take a little time. We still haven't gotten to the Vaikuntha Dutas. And the other ones who were talking about, they were there, but they hadn't started talking to him yet. First, the Nandishwar spoke to him, and then Nandishwar glorified Lord Shiva. And then he began thinking, maybe if I worship Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, they're non-different. And it seems that Lord Shiva is such a great Vaishnava that he could probably give me everything I need to achieve the shelter of Lord Madan Gopal. Maybe he is even Madan Gopal. And he began thinking in this way. And then Ganesh came and started to speak to him about the glories of Lord Shiva also. And Ganesh was speaking to him. And just as he was meditating on Lord Shiva, as he was hearing from Ganesh, then Lord Shiva came and he began discussing with Gopa Kumar about his domain. And he also began describing the glories of devotional service. But because Lord Shiva was accompanied with residents of Vaikuntha who are also having this kirtan, the residents of Vaikuntha were thinking, why doesn't he just go to Vaikuntha? And So they began speaking to him. And I can't remember who it was. I think it was the residents of Vaikuntha who said to him, go back down again to Mathura. Yes, it was, actually. They're the ones that instructed him about chanting the holy name of the Lord and how Sankirtan is the best. And that's what we're going to read, is their instructions about how Sankirtan of the holy name is the best. It gives one devotional service. It gives one to the lotus feet of, brings one to the lotus feet of the Lord. And after all their instructions, he said, go back down to Mathura again and just engage in Nam Sankirtan. And all your desires will be fulfilled. Now, I skipped over what they told him, because that's really the I just simply creating the background for this conversation between the Vaikuntha Dutas and Gopakumara, and what he heard from what Gopakumara heard from the Vaikuntha Dutas, which in essence is the same thing that Sanatana Goswami heard from Lord Chaitanya in these two verses that he spoke to him in Jagannath Puri about the superiority of chanting the holy name of the Lord. And that's going to come on May 13th. That's our next stage. And that was simply just a little introduction of these verses, and is such an expansion of these verses in the conversation between the Vaikuntha Dutas and Gopakumara that we'll find in chapter 3. Any of you like to read them, they begin before we'll discuss them. We'll read them and discuss them on the day after tomorrow. But they begin in chapter 3, which is bhajan, worship. And they sort of start on text 121. And they go for many verses. And we'll read those verses and some of the purports on the 13th. And let's chant. I guess that's next stage. Something else I was going to say, but maybe it'll come to me at the end before we sign off. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar. I'm going to speak a few more minutes with your permission. Came to my mind what I wanted to say and more. And something very, very wonderful. I was going to say that just as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we should try to not fall victim of man-made sankirtan. And he said that sankirtan is meant for pleasing Krishna's senses. He said when it's aimed at pleasing Krishna's senses, and Krishna's pleased by the effort to please his senses, then a very wonderful thing takes place. This is another quote that I thought of and I wanted to read. It's not the whole quote, it's just a small part of it. But I'll just, this one word that I wanted to read, and you'll see what it is. It's Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, again. He says, the holy name of Hari is not a product of matter, something imaginary, or an object of this visible world. Rather, it is an incarnation of the Lord, and as such is none different from him. Hari's name is Hari himself. The holy name is fully transcendental.
and is full of energies. The transcendental holy name is directly the Lord himself. And this is it. The holy name can take initiative. I love this. The holy name can take initiative. This person can take initiative. In other words, he can be, he's not simply a name. It's not different from Krishna. And Krishna can take initiative. And, you know, I thought the prayers of, I think it's Rupa Goswami, he says how the holy name brings one directly to Krishna's side and brings one into one's relationship with him. But then another thought went through my mind is that actually how the Mathura Brahman was chanting the mantra, the Gopal mantra that he received in a dream, and he gradually made his way to Mathura, and in Mathura there was this person, Gopa Kumar. He was waiting to instruct him, and how did Gopa Kumar get there? Srimati Radharani sent him. She took the initiative. She sent Gopa Kumar and took the initiative to go and to speak to the Mathura Brahmin who was chanting the mantra, who he received in a dream from a goddess Sati. No, Sati, no, was it? No, was it? Who was it? What was the name of the? I can't remember the name that's used. He was a worshiper of Durga. And I think it was a particular name, but I can't remember the name, who appeared and gave him the Gopal mantra in his dream. And he began chanting the Gopal mantra. Then gradually he made his way and got to Mathura. And then Gopa Kumar was there. And Gopa Kumar later revealed to him that Srimati Radharani sent him there to meet him there and to instruct him. I mean, initiative. Initiative can be taken from the spiritual world for those who chant the name of the Lord sincerely for the pleasure of the Lord. So it's just a very wonderful concept. That Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, the transcendental holy name is directly the Lord himself. The holy name can take initiative. There's no difference between the Lord and his names, forms, and qualities. The transcendental name is the form, quality, and activity himself. There's no difference between the Lord and his holy names. He goes on. I won't read the whole quote. I just wanted to get that part about initiative. The holy name takes initiative. So if we're actually meditating on pleasing the senses of the Lord, why wouldn't the Lord take initiative and reciprocation to those who are attempting to please him? And he does. In so many respects, he takes initiative by manifesting himself in his name to purify the heart, to cleanse the heart. But if we keep on chanting, Nama Parada Yuktanam, Namadyeva Haranchigan, Havishyanti Prayuktani, Tanyavata Kritanicha, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is recommended for those, even for those who are committing offenses. Because if we simply go on chanting gradually, chanting with a desire to become free from offenses, gradually we become free from offenses. So it's the Chintamani. It is the most worshipable object. It is Krishna himself. And why wouldn't he take the initiative to somebody who tries to please him by glorifying him and calling out his name for his pleasure? And that's Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. He just reveals so much. Of course, everybody, all of our previous acharyas reveal so much. We simply have to take the jewels of wisdom, meditate on them, and as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also says, the whole basis of it, even more important than hearing and chanting, The hearing and chanting about the glories of the holy name is enhanced by those who chant the holy name of the Lord. There's that verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita that it was a verse spoken by Kaviraj Goswami when Haridas Thakur heard Srila Rupa Goswami reveal the verse that he had written about the nectar of the two syllables Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya asked him to please tell me what is it that you're writing, and Rupa Goswami was trying to keep it from him, and he said, no. He said, I can see that what you've written, they look like pearls. They're so beautiful. Please read them to me. So Rupa Goswami read from those pearls, ornamented pearls, and he said, how much nectar is in those two syllables, Krishna? When those two syllables are chanted, then I desire to have thousands of mouths and millions of ears. And when it enters into the courtyard of my heart, then my mind, my senses become inert, my mind becomes stunned. And when he quoted this verse, Haridas Thakur, who was standing nearby, he began swooning in ecstasy. And Kaviraj Goswami says, he says that one has to learn about the truth and beauty of the Lord's holy names by hearing the revealed scriptures in the mouths of Vaishnavas. And by hearing the revealed scriptures in the mouth of Vaishnavas, then one can enter in and begin to understand the sweetness of the names of the Lord. And that's exactly what happened to Haridas Thakur. When Rupa Goswami was glorifying the holy name of the Lord, of course, his glorification of the holy name of the Lord, Haridas Thakur heard it, and he began to fall into ecstasy by hearing the glories of the holy name of the Lord from the lips of Srila Rupa Goswami. So everything, all this is glorification of the holy name of the Lord. And even whatever we hear from the Sanatan Goswami, from Rupa Goswami, from our previous acharyas, Srimad Bhagavatam, it is all glorification of the holy name of the Lord. Okay, I spoke long enough. I have to go on my walk. I didn't go yesterday, and I should go today. Thank you for joining us, and we'll continue. I'm going to wash it.